Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, December 10th of 2019. My hope is that you all had a great day, you're having a good day, and that you all listen, and that we're so glad that you've made the decision to tune into this great program tonight. My hope, my faith is that every one of you have come to learn something new about God. To learn something from His Word that you didn't know. Even though right now we're dealing with things like the birth of Jesus, because it's His birthday, my hope is that you're still learning about Him as we study the Word of God. But we are so glad that you would join us today. A programming note. Tomorrow night, I do not know for sure if I'll be able to do a show or not. I'm going to try. I've missed the last two Wednesdays. I don't want to miss another one, but I'm traveling down to Toledo to do some Christmas shopping stuff. I'm going to see what I can do. I might do like a mini one, like where I talk about where I'm at, maybe, tomorrow evening, like if I'm at Schmucker's, at the time I would have done my show. I might do it while we're driving back, maybe, depending on what time. I'm going to figure out a couple things, because missing three Wednesdays in a row is not like me. Sometimes, you know, just with holidays, and I had a church conference last week. You know, it's been busy. But I really do love you guys. I really do. I just don't want you to be shocked if, for whatever reason, I can't do a show tomorrow night. Monday, I might be having a Christmas party. Looks like I will be. I don't know what's the person to do. Sometimes it's just what happens when Christmas season is so condensed. I'm glad that we still have, after today, we still have 13 regular days that are not holidays to enjoy. There were 25 days this year, plus Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Thankfully, we still have 13 left. Bob, what's a good way to just really slow time down? I wish there was a way. Yes, like for this next couple of weeks, because I'm not ready for it to go anywhere. No, I'm not slowing down. I want the clock to slow down. I'm just saying, I wish there was one. Cause I'm not undoing the fact that I got stuff to do. I want to be able to do the stuff I have to do, and then the time still go by super slow with the holidays, you know what I mean? I just wanted to go by super slow and still do that stuff. But when the timing is condensed because Thanksgiving is so late, Bob, all that does is make it harder. Luckily, next year, with the way I've been feeling about this one, I'm so glad next year there's two extra days. Quite honestly, I would like to see Thanksgiving be the Thursday closest to the 20th. I mean, if I had to choose, there's a bill being voted on. We'll just say to change it to Thursday closest to the 20th, to November 20th. I'm going to sign it. But needless to say, folks, just don't get mad at me if I don't have a show tomorrow night. I want to, if I'm driving, if you guys will tune in. But we'll just see what happens. Next week, at the very least Tuesday and Wednesday, will be a go. Excuse me. And then this year, with the holidays, it presents us with a unique challenge. Well, let me explain. 2 years ago, Christmas was on a Monday, and then we did our shows, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday. Last year, Christmas was Tuesday. Monday, I couldn't do a show because I was somewhere where I didn't have internet because I was at my grandpa's. But then we did one Wednesday, and they did a makeup. This year, I'm probably going to do one on the 23rd. We'll see about the 24th. I had fun when I did that show back in May. Let me just think about something here, but we'll see. When the time comes, I'm going to do at least one that week. If I did one on Christmas Eve, it'd be like singing and some poems, mainly just stuff like that, and it would be shortened. Now, with the next week, yep, two more holidays. On December 30th, plan on a normal show. On the 31st, I'll come on and I'll talk about what was so great about this year. It'll probably be at an adjusted time. And then January 1st, I'll come and I'll talk about what I see this year for 2020. Hashtag 2020 vision. So we'll see what happens. I just wanted to make sure you guys knew what all was coming down the pipe. Because with the holidays coming up, it's going to make everything kind of a little bit of a whirlwind. But we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. That's what we do around here at Miracle Man. But here's something that I think is kind of funny. Kind of interesting, actually. OSU, Ohio State University, has a big contract with Coca-Cola. What it is that it is an exclusive contract. Coca-Cola owns the soda beverage, bottled water, you know, sports drinks like that, pouring rights at Ohio State University. Coca-Cola does. Michigan, on the other hand, I don't believe Michigan has a pouring rights. I don't think Michigan has a certain beverage pouring right deal. Now, at OSU, 1998 was the first time they had an exclusive beverage deal. That one lasted for 10 years. Then they signed another one in 08. Last year, they signed a 15-year contract. So Coca-Cola will be the exclusive beverage option on campus for the next 15 years. Interestingly enough, about 3 years after the contract took effect, Barb, well, prior to 2000, it was more common than not for Michigan to win the game between Michigan and that team to the south, the Bucks. Starting with 2001, you started to see a change. Do you remember that, Barb? You started to see a change. Remember? Mm-hmm. I didn't start noticing this until when I wasn't really following it before 2002. But even around 01, it was like, 01, oh, of course at 01 it was just a change. I mean, just a game. 02, okay. 03, Michigan wins, okay. 04, the Bucks come back and win, okay. 5, mind you, in 04, Michigan was ranked quite a bit higher. 05, Michigan didn't win them. 06, number one versus number two. Like, after 05, really, is when it really became a pattern. Could it be that maybe the secret reason why Michigan cannot beat that team to the south has to do with the fact that Michigan does not have an exclusive beverage contract?
I don't know.
Maybe, listeners, maybe Michigan needs to wipe their house clean of all of the Mountain Dew, all of the Sobeys, all of the... Yeah, and maybe those players need to be drinking some Monsters, some Full Throttles. And under the contract, they can still have Gatorade for the athletes. And I can see why the athletes love their Gatorade. And I'm sure if I was out there, if I was a big football guy, I would probably be wanting some Gatorade myself. I'd probably be one of the ones ousting my coach with Gatorade bath after we won the Big Ten championship or whatever. Yeah, I would. Because athletes like it. At the same time, maybe it's just a sign that Coca-Cola is better. I'm going to look at that when I get home tonight and see. Does Alabama and Clemson, for example, do they have exclusive beverage deals on their university campus? Do they? You would not be surprised if Georgia did, Barb, would you?
No.
And you don't mean with Pepsi, you mean with Coke.
Seems like Pepsi's getting a lot of business, and Coke is not.
What?
It seems like Pepsi's getting a lot of businesses.
No. Actually, Pepsi's lost some. Pepsi used to have Cedar Point, for example. They lost it.
Oh, did they?
They lost the Detroit airport, too. Yep. You thought maybe they went back to, like, independent to where, like, places got to choose. But nope. They both went to Coke. Arby's went to Coke. Wendy's used to be Pepsi. Now they're Coke. Pepsi's gained an airline in the cruise ship, but big chains, that's all I know of that they gained this year, for example. But goes to show you, listeners, why Coca-Cola is so much better. Can help your team win football games. And maybe University of Michigan marketing department needs to take notes. And maybe recruit a little better. Maybe then Michigan will start beating that team to the south. I'm not saying that it'll become that we'll beat them all the time. But I hope we can beat them more often. Because 8 years is a long time. And I'm ready to get them. In 2020. Aside from that, as a drink, we all know Coca-Cola is so much better than Pepsi, or, Preacher Man, it's so much better than your Dr. Pepper. I know that your Dr. Pepper came out a year before my Coke, and that your Dr. Pepper has 23 flavors, and mine has, like, 6. But Coca-Cola has ran Christmas ads. Dr. Pepper hasn't. I haven't seen Pepsi run too many Christmas ads either. But those commercials that said always Coca-Cola, were those ones from like the 80s up to like 96 or whatever? Is that when they ran those always Coca-Cola commercials?
It was in the pretty sure. So, late 80s.
And then didn't they bring it back for a couple of years in the 90s, specifically for the holidays, I think? Does that sound about right?
Coca-Cola there.
And they're singing the always Coca-Cola song or whatever? Didn't they bring that back in the 90s a couple of times specifically for the holidays? Because I remember I had seen a Coke commercial from, like, 1996. Yeah, Christmas 96. But this was a lot of years ago that I saw this video, though, on YouTube. And I like to go back and look at some of the old commercials. Kind of reminds you. a lot of them I don't remember hearing, though. And anything before 1991 or whatever, I wouldn't remember. But anyhow, tonight, I'm going to look at part of Luke chapter 1 and get into chapter 2. We'll see how Luke tells the story of Jesus' birth tonight. I'm going to keep expounding on it. The poems, like the candy cane and things like that, I'll either do them tomorrow. I mean, I'll probably do them next week, like as we are getting closer to the holidays. There's a story behind the candy cane, the Christmas tree, and all these different elements of Christmas. And we're going to discuss it. So there's a... But just some fun things that Dr. Buckley reads us that I like to go along and read also. That I like to read on my show for you guys. But anyhow, we're going to read the word a bit tonight. We'll discuss some more about the birth of Jesus. And then all that football that I didn't talk about last night, I'm going to talk about it tonight because we had that glitch last night. But we are going to talk about the football tonight. And what do I think is going on with the Lions? What can they do about it? Also, what's my opinion on the Patriots filming an opponent? I'll be discussing that. Also, we will have your two Christmas songs for tonight. I will be singing. Let me think here. For the first song, I will be singing Joy to the World. And then just before sports, to make sure I do it, so that I don't forget it like I did last night, I wanted to sing Have a Holly Jolly Christmas. So that'll be your Christmas selections for tonight, which are brought to you always, which will always be brought to you this year by the delicious holiday pies that you can find at your local McDonald's. Right taste at the right price. Two pies for only $1.29 at this location. Price and participation may vary. Tax extra. See store for details. Listeners, before I sing my first song, and then we pray and open up the word, I'm going to tell you, you know, how you can tell others how to be a part of the show, but first I want to encourage you in something. You know, with it being the, you know, on Christmas time right now, stores, radio stations, other, I mean, stores and other places where you may go, some other places that you might go, as well as radio stations, and people in their cars, you know, not happy. They are listening to songs about my Jesus. Yes, they're singing Jingle Bells. Yes, they're singing The Barking Dogs. By the way, unlike some people, I actually like The Barking Dogs. I think The Barking Dogs are funny. What do you think of The Barking Dogs, Bob? Do you think they're funny?
Yes, they're funny.
Yes, they are. But I will not be... No, I'm not going to sing it tonight. I'm not going to sing that song. I'm singing something else. Someone actually made a song called Don't Make Me Play That Grandma Song Again, making fun of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And I'm thinking I'll either share that maybe tomorrow night if I, maybe tomorrow night, or maybe next week. We'll see. But it's one of the singers who made the reindeer song famous. And the song is called Don't Make Me Play That Grandma Song Again. And it talks about how he'll do anything they say. He'll play the Barking Dogs all day even. But don't make me play the grandma song again. I don't know why they need to play it again. She already got run over. She already got run over. And the reindeer is still loose. I think that reindeer is still loose, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's still loose again. He only gets looser on the holidays, though, I think. But anyhow, what I wanted to say is this is a great time to lead people to Jesus. Any day is a good day. But right now is a great time too, because right now people are more open than what they may be at other times of the year. Because right now they're more apt to be exposed to those Christmas carols that talk about my Jesus, Away in the Manger, Joy to the World, The First Noel, We Three Kings, and among others. So I want to encourage you. Tell someone about Jesus today. Maybe you're at the mall, at the store. Maybe you're out getting a cup of coffee. Maybe you're on the job or wherever you are. Tell somebody about Jesus, please. Because time is short. Listeners, it's very easy to tell people how they be a part of this program. If you want to talk to me about generally anything, as long as it's not political, if you want to talk about sports, if you want to ask me about anything in the Bible, maybe you have a question about the birth of Jesus. What on earth was the reason for the swaddling clothes? Or whatever it is you want to ask. You'll be able to call in and ask me. The lines are always open. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. And when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, go ahead and press 1. And then you'll be taken to the call screen. And then I'll be notified that we have a caller. Amen. Now, we're going to sing our first song, which is Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, heaven, nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns, and mind of songs and God, with fields and grace. The fields and grace. Repeat the sound in joy. Repeat the sound in joy. Repeat, repeat the sound in joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God is sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, all the triumph of the skies. Let angelic hosts proclaim, glory to the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Thank you, Jesus, for this great show tonight. Thank you for all of these listeners that have made the determination to tune into this program tonight, wherever they may be. Thank you that they've come prepared to study your word, to learn some things about you, as we're going to be discovering some stuff about your birth tonight. And what did Elizabeth see? What did Mary see? What all happened? And we're going to be studying that out tonight for a little while. And I just thank you that these people's eyes and ears are open to receive your word tonight. Will you take this? Because I'm going to need this in order to open my book. Put it over there. But anyhow, thank you. But please just open their ears tonight to receive your word. We give you praise and honor and glory for that. And Heavenly Father, I make my confession over the show that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program, that finances are coming into this program, and most important of all, I thank you for a huge harvest of souls coming in to the kingdom of God as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Let's go to Luke. Praise God. Let's go to Luke. I'm not going to deal with John the Baptist. I'm just seeing where we're going to go. Mary visits Elizabeth. Let's go to Luke 1:39. Luke 1:39. And we are going to look at some verses tonight. Actually, let's go to 25. 26. Because I want you to see where his birth is foretold. And we'll go from there. I want to encourage you to please just follow along. As I read, you read. If I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. So. Oh my gosh. Time, can you slow down? All right, verse 26, let's go. In the sixth month, God sent the angel of Galilee to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." You see, Mary was highly favored. I'll continue. "The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child. You will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." When Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. And nothing is impossible with God. Amen. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left Mary. I'm going to read down to 45, and then we're going to skip the birth of John the Baptist for time. We're going to skip Zechariah's song as well, and go straight to chapter 2. So, I'm in 39. We're going to read 39 to 45, then we're going to go straight to chapter 2. So just stay with me, folks, okay? At the time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I that so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Yeah. Amen. Go with me to chapter 2. We're studying the Bible together. We're going to start with verse 1. In these days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census must be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, this is the first census while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We're going to look at the shepherds and the angels. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told after them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, and she pondered these things in her heart. and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising the Lord for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Verse 21 now. We're going to look a little bit at Jesus in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time for the purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In other words, they took him to his dedication, which was in Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male to be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous, and he was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When his parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for them what the custom of the law had required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, and now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "Mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be true, a sign that will be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul as well." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worship night and day, fasting, praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had gone, everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew. He became strong. He was filled with wisdom. and the boy, Jesus, the boy there is capitalized. I mean, boy Jesus at the temple. And the grace of God was upon him. I'm going to cut it off right there. What you saw there was people were predicting. I mean, you saw the angels. The angel of the Lord told Mary and Joseph what the angel had seen about Jesus. The angel knew. And obviously, when it's the angel of the Lord speaking, when it's the angel of the Lord speaking like that, you don't mess around. The angel basically said, his name is to be Jesus. He will be great and will do mighty works. Later, it is said that he would be spoken against, which, oh, has he ever been? But at the same time, he's so powerful. There are multiple reasons why Jesus came to this earth. There are. And I wanted to tell you what they were tonight. I'm not going to necessarily number them in order of significance, but I am still going to number them. Number one, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Number two, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. We read that last night. You will have a son, you will name him Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now, yes, I teased at first and read it a different way. But that was to make a point that that's not why he came. He came to save his people from their sins. Number three, he came to save others from their sins. Number four, he came to establish government. The Bible says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. It was for him to establish governments. It was his government, not the federal government, not the state government, not the city government. Nope. He also came. To heal the sick. I have, or at least I have all of the first four. Forget what number five is. But at least your first four. Number one. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I'm so glad. Now, we won't be totally free of the devil until the tribulation and Jesus sets his foot down on the Mount of Olives. Then there will no longer be a devil. What a day that'll be. Number two, Jesus came to this earth to save his people from their sins. Number three, Jesus came to save sinners. Number four, Jesus came to establish governance. As I told you about the verse where it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. I hope Dr. Barclay preaches this again soon. Because maybe then I'll have number five for you. When we come back next time, I want to talk about the reasons for Christmas. And let me tell you what these reasons are not. Although there's nothing wrong with these ones. Frosty, Rudolph, watch Christmas movies. Buy gifts for family and friends. You know, that's all good and fun and stuff, but there are spiritual reasons for Christmas. And listen, the fact that Jesus came to this earth, it's amazing. We'd still be under the law of Moses without him. Because, of course, you know, at Easter, we celebrate him going up into heaven and his resurrection. And in order for someone to be resurrected from the dead and have went to heaven, they had to first live on earth. And so when I think about this, this is a very important season for Christians right here, this Christmas season. And so I hope on Christmas Day, and even the rest of the time, as you're getting ready, maybe you're still decorating your house, as you're making these cookies, think about the what all he represents. What does that star represent? Why was he in a manger? Oh, that's right. Now I'm at the end. But just think about. But you know what? One of the things I'm glad about. I'm so glad that he's not a baby anymore. Not a baby anymore. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. Amen. That's my Jesus. That's my King. King of my heart. King of glory. That. You know, the reason part of why he was later on, I didn't read this tonight, but later on, when he gets a little bit older, they go together back to Jerusalem, back to the temple. But Jesus stays there for a few days. And then they wonder where he is and why did he stay and all that. He was learning. He was asking all those leaders there, he was asking them questions. And he was amazed at their answers. And he learned a lot from them. And so they go back. They're like, "Oh, we got to go get Jesus." They didn't realize that Jesus was missing. But when they realized it, they went back and got him. He didn't purposely do wrong. He was learning. He was about his father's business. Because like it said, when we read it in the Bible, what was conceived in Mary was of the Holy Ghost. And even, you know, when Elizabeth was having her baby, was about to have her baby, that baby leaped in her womb for joy. Apparently that baby heard Mary's greeting. He heard it. How can a baby hear stuff when he's not even in the womb? How? I mean, when he's still in the womb, how? Is it possible, Bob, that you know of?
I don't know
how it happened, but apparently somehow he leaped in her womb for joy. Elizabeth, go back in Luke and read it for yourself, listeners. But even those shepherds and wise men. Now, yes, that account looks a little bit different from the account we read last night in the book of Matthew. Now, they're both accurate. But like I said, they're both different. There is no reason to throw out either one of them. That's why I teach it. That's why when I read the story, as we will do at least one more time, maybe even twice. Yeah, you know, that Matthew and Luke are two different accounts of the birth of Jesus Christ. But none of them are false. Because after all, it's the Word of God. You know, there's some stories that are told the same way that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they're all told about the same way. This one's a little different. And in Matthew, those songs are not in there. I will look at these songs next time. We'll look at these songs. The Song of Mary and the Song of Zechariah. I just love Jesus. I just love Jesus. I love his birthday. I love what Christ has done in my life. And so, if you're a Christian, you got to celebrate his birth somehow. Whatever you do. But at your church, don't just play this game of, okay, I'm going to go buy gifts for all these people, and I'm going to spend all this money, and we're going to have all this food, and we're going to have all this stuff, but, and we're going to sing songs about our Jesus, but when it comes offering time at our church, I'm not going to give nothing for Jesus. Don't you do that. My church, for example, the last offering before Christmas, Dr. Barclay gives us an offering to put in a special birthday offering for Jesus. And we just write on it like, Happy Birthday, Jesus, or whatever. And it's just a great way to honor God. And I know the money can't be used in heaven, so you're thinking, why should I do that? It's honoring God. It's his birthday present. You know, me and my parents, we like making a birthday party for Jesus. I mean, a birthday cake for Jesus, and it, you know, it's pretty cool. We like it. Everybody has different traditions. But how would you like it? How would you like this, Barb? If we'll just say it's your birthday soon, but we all start singing songs about you. We all go to the store and buy stuff for each other. But on your birthday, we don't got you no present. You don't get no present. You didn't got no present. We all gave our presents to each other. You get nothing. How do you think you'd feel about that? Okay, maybe you may be, but my point is, listeners, is I don't think that is not good to do to Jesus, because even though a human may not mind that, but Jesus, he's just worthy of our honor. He's worthy of our praise. So, what I'm saying is, do not forget about Jesus on his birthday, please. Very important. It is called Christmas, not me-mas, not you-mas, not cookie-mas. And it's, you know what? It's not Santa-mas either. It's not Santa-mas, but it is Christmas. Thank you so much, listeners, for letting me share my heart with you and for letting me read you these verses. I hope you got something out of this. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great word tonight. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you were birthed. Thank you, Lord God, for what you represent. I thank you for what you've done. Thankful for who you are. I'm so thankful, Lord God, for what you're going to do in our lives. And I thank you that we are doers of the word of God and not hearers only. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Now, as I promised, Holly Jolly Christmas. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And if you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Oh, oh, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you. Kiss them once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe, it's hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Oh, yeah. That's another one of my favorite Christmas songs is Holly Jolly Christmas. A lot of them are my favorites, I think. I'm trying to think of the ones I don't like. But for me, that's kind of hard. I mean, you know, there's a, you know, there's so many good ones. Like I said, we're just having fun with Christmas. I'm having fun sharing my love of Christmas with you guys. Because after all, it is Jesus' birthday. Hallelujah. And so, I'm enjoying it. Now, for sports, usually it'd be football Monday and Wednesday, but we're doing something a little bit different. First, let's start with college football. On Saturday, you had LSU crush Georgia 37-10 for the SEC championship game. LSU will now be playing Oklahoma in their leg of the college football playoff. In the Big Ten, you had that team from the South come from behind. Mind you, at one point they were down 14-0 to the Badgers. They come back and win it. From 28-17. They, that team from the South, will be playing Clemson in their leg of the college football playoffs. Oklahoma, they beat Baylor in a close game. Michigan, oh, they have the assignment of having to go and play Alabama. Alabama, 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 Alabama. they got to play the Crimson Tide, who missed the college football playoff. But I have to say, other than that team to the South, when they played that team to the South, and when they played the healthy Wisconsin, they look really good this year. Did I say perfect? No, I said very good. I'm trying to – no team is exactly perfect. No. Every turn, every quarterback throws a gift here and there. And – like I was saying, stuff happens. But at the same time, Alabama did not make the college football playoff because they lost to Auburn. And before that, they had also lost to LSU. I can see why they figure LSU is the better team and not OSU. Because of how LSU did in the regular season. Mind you, Clemson never played a top 25 opponent this year. Not one. Not one. No. Cakewalk. Minnesota had a tougher schedule than what Clemson did. But then again, Minnesota lost to Wisconsin. Otherwise, people could may have been vouching for Minnesota. Except, oh, that's right, they would have had to beat those pesky Bucks. The Bucks that won't go away. But Anyhow, that's your college football matchups for the playoff game. Okay, now let's talk football. This weekend, you had some surprises. You also had some games that were not surprises. By the way, my college football predictions. I predicted that the Bucks would beat Wisconsin. Ding! LSU to beat Georgia. Ding! Oklahoma to beat Baylor. Yep. Now, NFL. The Lions, yep, they found a way, another day, another loss. This time to the Vikings, again. By the way, the Vikings are the only opponent that they lost to by more than 8 points. To everyone else, it's been eight or less, including the Bears and the Pack, which, by the way, they should have beat the Pack. Those crazy rascals officials. Those officials were rascals. At least I think they were that day. Kept making bad calls against Detroit. Now, 3-9-1. Bye-bye playoffs. Now, forget where they got to play now, but we'll see what happens this weekend. Patriots lose to the Chiefs at home? Whoa, I didn't see this coming. And also, the Pats got booed off the field, off their home field, mind you, at halftime when they were down by 14. To those Chiefs. Then, the 49ers beat the Saints. This to me was kind of a shocker. Really a shocker, because those are two of the best teams in the NFL right now. 49ers and Saints are. 48-46. So it's not like the Saints weren't scoring points. They were scoring a lot. They just didn't have enough points. Because football is not like golf, where the low score wins. Football is like most other sports, where the high score wins. And maybe if one of the times they would have went for a touchdown and not a field goal, that could have been the difference right there. But They are going to end up winning the NFC South, I believe. By the way, the Lions will be playing the Bucks. At home. They will be playing at home. The Lions will be playing at home against the Bucks. Can this be a difference? I will pick this box, this game. I will pick this game and a couple other NFL games tonight, just in case I don't do a short one. My pick, Roaring Lions, 24, Million Bucks, 20. I like that. Oh, okay, I like this better. Roaring Lions, 24, Dollar Bay, 20. Because get it, dollar and bucks, and then Bay, because they're right by Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay Bucks. That's why I said Dollar Bay. That's a funny one, don't you think? Dollar Bay? I like that. Patriots Bengals. Patriots in some trouble for filming an opponent. I don't know why in the world they would film an opponent. But could the Bengals now, after they finally beat the Browns, decide, hey, we're going to be a good team now? I say no. Red, white, and blue. I say red, white, and blue, 34. Simpson, Precious Bengals, 16. And those are my football picks for this weekend. And until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.